You have your copy of God's Word this morning. I'm going to go to a few places this morning. But first of all, I want you to start off in Exodus chapter 20. I want to read a few verses of Scripture there. And then here in just a couple of minutes, we're going to go to Genesis chapter 12. And hopefully, if I got time, we're going to end up over in Isaiah 53. You know, this past couple of weeks, God has really been dealing with me. And I'm going to take the next few weeks and I'm going to teach and preach on breaking free, being free in your walk with God, breaking free. I believe that there are Christians that are saved, but they're not free in their walk with God. I believe there are things in their life that they've allowed to control them that have become addictions in their life. There are some people here that maybe there are addictions in your life. We're going to talk about addictions. We're going to talk about those foxes in our life that keep us from living to the fullness of God. And God's really been dealing with this about me, not only to preach it, but in my own life. How many know that God first will deal with you when He's ready to speak it? And so He's been dealing with that in my own life, dealing with those things in my own life. And we're going to deal with that. And we're going to talk about positioning for God's greatness. That's what this is. We want to deal with these things so that we can position ourselves for God's greatness, right? We want to be a kingdom church. We want to be a mature church. But we also want to position ourselves for God's greatness in our life. How many know God wants His best for your life? Nothing less but His best for your life. He wants to bless you. He wants you to be blessed. And God wants to do that in our lives and work that in our lives. He wants that to be a part of our lives. God, everyone in this room, I believe God has destined for greatness in your life. You just ain't found that out yet. But we're going to help you find that out here in the coming weeks. And then on August 3rd, we're going to have a breaking free service. We're going to pray for addictions. We're going to pray for strongholds. We're going to pull down principalities. We're going to deal with devils and generational curses that have haunted you all your life and things that you had to deal with, the hidden things in your life that have been secret that nobody knows about that you battle with. And we're going to pray and we're going to break those things and we're going to have a great service. It's going to be a breaking free service. If you know somebody that's addicted to anything, whether it be food, whether it be pornography, whether it be alcohol, drugs. How many know that you can be addicted to TV? Be addicted to you can be addicted to your job. Huh? Amen. Come on now, I'm starting to preach and I need some help this morning. If we're going to get, I'll preach until you got to help me this morning. I'll preach all night. Huh? So I need your help so we can get through this, right? So God wants us free in our lives. And so here in the book of Exodus chapter 20, I want to read just a couple of verses of Scripture here this morning. Judy, it's so good to see you. We're so happy you're here. I mean, God, that is a miracle. And we saw her in the hospital and prayed in the emergency room, and they flew her out to Louisville, and we thought, Jesus, you're going to have to intervene. And bless her heart, I know it was tough. Went in there a day and a half later, and she's sitting up, ordering everybody around. Praise God. That's good, isn't it? Praise God. And she got her swag back. And we're glad about that. We're so glad that you're here and thankful for what God has done. Exodus chapter 20. I want to begin reading in verse 4 because I want to cover verse 4. And obviously this is Moses. He's delivering the Ten Commandments. But it's what's said as these Ten Commandments are being read that I want us to see this morning. You shall not make for yourself a carven image, any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down before them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God. How many know God's jealous? Say, God don't share. God doesn't share. Visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me, visiting the iniquity of the children through the third and fourth generation to those who hate me. And a lot of times we'll look at this and we'll think, well, this is about the Ten Commandments. About we think of this, we think it's some people out in the bush somewhere worshiping some wooden image that has been erected, and they're all bowing down to it and singing homages to it. But I think it's deeper than this. I think in our day when we talk about idol worship, I believe that just this generation worships themselves. And what I mean by that is this. I believe we live in an hour when this generation wants to go out and find a God that matches their lifestyle. And when they do, that's where they go to church, Mark. Now come on, you got to help me this morning. And so they search here and search here. And then when they find the God that matches the way they live, then that's where they go to church. When the truth should be, the church should be preaching the gospel, and they should be seeking God. And when they find God, He changes the way they live, and they come more like God than ever. And so, searching for God, that's the generation. That's the idol worship of our day. People are looking for God. They're trying to put God into their lifestyle. And then when somebody says that's not the nature of God, they just go looking for Him somewhere else. And believe me, there's enough of them preaching it, they'll find some place where they'll fit in, and it'll work for them. But one of the themes that I see that I believe is happening in the hour we live in, some of the things that I begin to see is that people in their Christian walk and in their life, they feel stuck in their Christian walk. I see a frustration in the lives of Christians many times in their life, that there's frustrations in how they live. And you say, what do you mean by frustrations? Well, some of them have lost their jobs and they have to start over in life. It's a frustration because they've been with their companies all these years, and all of a sudden these economic turns has had them to go find new careers and places to work and all these kind of things. And so there's frustration. There's frustration in the fact that they're a certain age, and they say, well, I feel like I should have been further along in life. I should have been much further than what I am now. I'm 30 years old, and I should be more established, or I'm 40, or I'm 50, or I'm 60, or I'm 70, and I don't have much to show for. I feel like I should be further along, and there's a frustration that is in their life that's there. And in other words, they're praying, when is my breakthrough coming? When is my turn coming? When is my Boaz going to show up? And so there's these frustrations. Frustrations of when's my kid going to straighten out and grow up? See, y'all help me this morning. Because I'm preaching it. I know that this is for you this morning. When my kid going to straighten up and get right? Stop acting crazy. When is my boss going to finally start appreciating me? And the work that I do and all that I do for Him. When is He going to start appreciating who I am? But the truth is this morning, Jesus never called us to be delivered from our frustrations. He just said that He would work in our frustrations. He would give us the strength to get through our frustrations. That He would move in our frustrations. He would lead us and teach us in our frustrations. And so we see that ever more and more. When you get saved, and I got saved, you come to Christ. God, you became born of the Spirit. Amen? Old things passed away. All things become new, right? Your spirit man came alive, and your sins were forgiven, and you became new, right? Your spirit man was conquered by God. But we're made of body, soul, and spirit. You still have your flesh. But most of all, you still have your soul. And see, your soul is a place of where your thinking is, your attitude, your emotion. It's the seat of your passions, your desires. It's where your experiences are. It's where your memories are. It's where your past has been stored. And so we get saved and God renews our spirit. But what happens is we never allow that thing to translate over into our emotions and into our will and into the areas of our life that affect the way we move and live and have our being, as we would say it. And so there's a frustration because we get saved, but we say, God, you can touch our lives, but there's certain areas of my life that I'm not going to give you. Ha ha. Ha ha. Now you hang with me this morning. Listen, when we get saved, not everything's delivered at the altar. or in one prayer. Sometimes it's a process. It's a journey in our life. And the journey is to uproot that in you which has happened to you up to the point that you got saved. Amen. That's the process in which God is the, and it's replacing in you. It's giving you a new identity. And so do you come to the place to where you become what God says you are, and you can do what God says you can do? Because when a believer finds out who they are, you can quit becoming what others want you to be, right? Huh? Right? Because when you find out who you are in Christ and what God's called you to do, you no longer have to listen to what other people are telling you you should be, or what you should become, or what you can become. God's the one that reveals himself in you and life in you. Hang with me. We going somewhere. But there's too many of us that we're comfortable with mixture. Compromise. We interwoven it into our lives through the fabric of how we live. And so we get comfortable with that mixture. We get comfortable with, I use mixture because, you say compromise. It's a negative. I heard a preacher say not too long ago, said, don't use the word compromise anymore. It turns people off. How many know we're changing every word in society nowadays because we don't want to offend people? Let me tell you, this generation needs to be offended. Pull you back to God and pull you back to where God wants you to be. You know, in the early days of my preaching, and when I started preaching, I wasn't afraid of nothing. We preached on the street. I mean, we weren't afraid of religious people. When I first started pastoring, I didn't care who came and who left. We just preached and and it didn't bother me. Because it's just how I learned to preach. It's just how I was told to preach. I didn't grow up in church, so they didn't indoctrinate me with all that religious politics stuff that a lot of these preachers have to go through, because they got to win everybody over before they feel like they can get a church. But that's not how I was, Mark. I learned to preach on the street. I learned to preach. I learned to share my testimony on the street. I learned to win people to God. I did tent meetings. That's how I learned to preach. And so I just threw it out there. And so in the early days, but when you preach like that, you invite adversity. When you preach like that. And so when I first church I pastored, I invited a lot of adversity. And there are times in churches that I pastored where I went through difficult times because the attacks would become so strong. They come so strong, you get tired of the attacks or the abuse or the frustration. And so here's what happened to me. I just began to back off a little bit. And I just began to back off. Because I felt like, I just needed to get a breather for a minute. But see, recently God has kind of just been revealing back to me that I need to make the determination never again to let fear and attack keep you from being who God created you to be. Not be afraid to preach what God gives you, and not to step back anymore or step backward because somebody got upset because you're preaching what you're preaching. And so we can rejoice about my decision this morning, but let's talk about you. Huh? Right? Uh-huh. Some of you was a day when you weren't ashamed to be who you were in Christ. There was a day when you shared Christ. You shared Jesus. He was on your sleeves. He was in your lips. He was in your praise. You go to this grocery store. You'd sing down the aisle. You told everybody in your family. You shared Jesus with everybody. But then all of a sudden you got around that crowd, that crazy family of yours, or those crazy friends, or those people on your job that just kept attacking, attacking, attacking. And you said, look, I'm just going to back up for a little while. Right? And they get in church, or they get criticized for being too loud, or praising too much, or dancing too long, or shouting too loud, or disturbing somebody because they got happy, or they get the Holy Ghost jerks and end up on the floor, and they disturb the service by interrupting with praise, and they get all wound up, and people get mad, and they say, why she's always got to stand up and do that? Why has he always got to run around the church with a flag? You know, and then the words come, and then they just hold themselves back. But let me give you permission this morning to just go ahead and move forward with what God has for you in your life. Ha, ha, ha. Hey, I'm ready to preach this morning. You know why? Because we're going to break some things free. We're going to liberate this place. Liberate your life. I'm going to push on you for a little while. I'm going to push on you. Now, you may not like to be pushed on doing preaching, so you may have to decide whether or not this is the place you need to be. Right? Ha ha. Hang with me. Hang with me this morning. Come on now. Whoo. But some of you, God wants to position you in your life. And it's time for God to start digging you out of the rut that's in your life. The Bible says perfect love casts out all fear. He'll remove the mixture and the compromise in your life. Ha ha. But our soul, we hold things back. We hold things in. We don't give them things to God. We need to begin to release those things to God that we've held on to and begin to hold on to. Paul said it like this. You're not restricted because of my preaching. He said the reason you're restricted is because of the passions that are in your body. In other words, it's not my preaching that has brought restrictions on you. It's your own passions, your own soul, your own will down inside you that keeps you from moving forward in God because your passions are contrary to the Word of God, contrary to your spirit. You keep living a certain way and you don't want to answer to God and you don't want to change. That's where the frustration in your life comes. Ha ha! Woo! Are you feeling what I'm feeling this morning? I got to take this jacket off. I got two suit jackets, and I can't get them too sweaty because I got to use them to look nice to bury some of you all. Huh? And to marry some of your crazy kids. Right? I can't wear them out, Tom. I can't get sweat all over them. I got too much to do. I got to go to the hospital in my jacket. I can't be having sweat smell all over my jacket. Be at your funeral and be smelling all nasty while your relatives walk by and say, he was a good man. He was a good man. Hallelujah. Paul said, you're not restricted by my preaching. You're restricted by your own passions. And by God confronting us with mixture that has clouded our love and relationship for him. Everybody, in other words, everybody's got something they're holding on to this morning. And God can touch. We say, God, you can touch everything. But God, you can't touch this. And so, it's about who's driving your life. It's about when trouble comes into your life, who's in charge when trouble comes. God says, if I got you, right, then I control what you watch. Uh-huh. I control what you're listening to. I control where you go, what you say. Come on now. You all got to help me this morning. I'm feeling good. You can't let this pass. There's some people that need free this morning. I control the environment, what you live in and where you go to, right? If God's in control. But if you're in control, then you do what you want to do. Is that not right? Amen. So this is a positioning day. God is going to begin over the next few weeks to begin to position this church for his blessing in our life. He's going to reposition us. He's going to break those things off of us that have kept us back from moving forward in God. That is the shot put that hit you and knocked you out and you thought you were done. People ruled you out, thought you were done. She ain't going to do what she used to do. She's been wounded. She's been hurt. She's been offended. But can I tell you, God is about raising back up people who've been wounded, who've been hurt, who've been hit in the middle of battle, God is about binding you up and giving you a new song and a new dance this morning. Ha-ha! Yeah. Hallelujah. I'm just getting started, and I've not even got past. Genesis chapter 12. For sake of time, I may paraphrase the phrase a little bit, but I want to read these few verses of Scripture, and then we'll try to get to Genesis 22 and Isaiah 53, which I don't know if we'll get there or not. But hang with me. I'm going somewhere this morning. Just stay with me. Genesis chapter 12. I love the turning of the pages of the Bible and the Word, you know. I like the electronics, the phones, the iPads, those are all good. There's just something about turning the pages of the Word of God that just kind of stirs me up, knowing that somebody's searching out the things of God. Genesis chapter 12. Woo! I'm shaking. Genesis chapter 12. Now the Lord had said to Abram, get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house to a land I will show you. And I will make you a great nation. I will bless you. I will make your name great. You shall be a blessing, and a blessing to those that bless you, and I will curse those that curse you. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. That's a good word, isn't it? He told Abraham, he said, get out of your country, from your family, from your father's house. He said, and you say, well, that's a great blessing, but that's to Abraham. Let me remind you what Galatians says. Galatians says we are the seed of Abraham. And that down through the generations, the blessing of God came through, and Jesus bridged the gap between the Old and the New Testament. And the blessings of Abraham came right through Jesus and landed in my lap and your lap this morning. So we are blessed. God wants to make you great. He wants to position you for greatness this morning. He wants to position you for success, position you for a life of victory and a life in God that's unhindered. Thank you, Jesus. Jesus bridged that gap. He said, get out of your country. Leave your family. Leave your father's house. In other words, I'm going to bless you. And then God said, when you do that, God said, I will bless you. Amen. The I wills of God. I will bless you. That's a great promise, right? Amen. But here's the thing. We all love the I wills of God. Right? We love to read those promises that says, God's going to bless you and take care of you, touch your life, move in your life. We love quoting those. We love praying them. We put them on our refrigerator. We put them on our cars. Right? We write them in our iPhones. We send them to people. We like that, but here's what we don't like. We don't like it when God says, get out. Because in order to get some of the I wills of God, there's some things you got to come out of in order for God to bring the promises of the I wills into your life. The thing is, we don't like to get the get outs out of our life. We just want the I wills of God. We want all of God's I wills. When God says to Abraham, he says, I want you to get out of your country. Move away from your family. Get out of your father's house. Now that's, in other words, he's telling him to get out. Now that's offensive to Abraham. Now, from this point on, I'm going to give you a disclosure. I love you, and I ain't trying to hurt your feelings. But the next few minutes, I'm going to push on you for a minute, if that's all right. But remember, while I'm telling you, I want you to know I love you. God loves you. He wants his best for you. But there's some of you here that need to come out of some stuff before God starts putting some promises in your life. Woo. Why is that offensive? It's offensive because nobody wants anybody to talk about their family, right? We don't like to talk about our family. Matter of fact, nobody talks about our family but us, right? Only we are the ones that can talk about our family. Don't you talk about my mama. I know she's messed up, but that's my mama. Right? Y'all know in the school ground? Your mama, your daddy, your greasy granny's got holes in her panties, got a big behind like Frankenstein. Right? Your mama wears combat boots. Your mama, your daddy, right? Y'all had that fight? I had that fight when I was a kid. I know my mama's messed up, but you ain't gonna talk about her. I can, but you can't. Right? We don't want nobody talking about our ethnicity. Talking about our class, what class of people we are. But when you begin to read this scripture, you see that in the Hebrew, God begins to break down these three words in Hebrew. And he's not just telling Abraham to get out of a geographical place, even though that's the meaning of some of the words. But Abraham didn't have a nationality at this time. And it's deeper than that. He's speaking deeper into Abraham than just the country that he's living in, leaving out of the country that he's in. Matter of God, he was afraid. He was a vagrant moon worshiper. He worshiped idols. So what is God saying? God is saying this. God's promises. He promised Abraham he'd be fathers of the nations. Now, when he did that, Mark, he was 100 years old. And his wife was 90. And they had no kids. But God said, you're going to be the father of many nations, have many sons. Your generations will be blessed. He's 100 and she's 90. Do I need to explain to you what that means? The Bible said it like this. His body was good as dead. Y'all know what that means? In other words, he couldn't do at 100 what he did when he was 20. Somebody, hey, say amen. How many know you can't do it at 100 what you could do when you were 20? I don't know. I'm not there yet. But it said his body was as good as dead. She was 90, ladies. What are y'all laughing at? She was 90 and had no plastic surgery. Come on now. Everybody know that's a miracle. It's a miracle. That's God's promise. But if you go over to Genesis chapter 22, and you can read it later on, for sake of time, I'm going to hold it for a minute. If you go over there, Genesis 22, all of a sudden in chapter 22, verse 1 and 2, it says God gives him his dream. The word promise there, a promised son, means not only a promise, but it means a giving of a dream. In other words, God gave Abraham his dream of having a son, which was a promise that God gave to him. But in verse 2, all of a sudden, God says, take your promise and take it up on the mountain and kill the very dream that I gave you. Stay with me, right? Y'all with me? This is the promise of the Father. This is his promise. And he says, and he goes up there and he takes the lad and he takes the associates with him and takes the wood and he gets up there, begins to build this altar, and he builds the altar, and his son asks him, say, Father, where is the lamb that's to be sacrificed? And Abraham said, hey, God will provide. How many know God will provide? How many know it don't look like there's a good ending to your situation, but God will provide. Doesn't look like you're going to walk through this thing and get through it, but God will provide, right? Don't look like you're going to be healed or you're going to get through that sickness, but God will provide. Come on now. God will provide. I hope we as a church can appeal to different groups as a church. I hope that as a church we appeal to every age group, every ethnicity, every culture. I love what Bob Summers told me. He said God wants to make you a multicultural church in a city that's 90% white. Right? But I believe God can do that, right? Huh? Right? I mean, no, we want Koreans and Asians, and we want whites and blacks, and we want Indians, we want Hispanics, we want this church to be diverse, right? I want young, I want old, I want married couples. I want babies, I want kids. Because in diversity, Anything that's great has diversity. Any great churches have diversity. Any great company has diversity. Any great country, any great nation has diversity. But you can't be great by being the same. Everybody like you. Let me tell you, I preached in those churches. Everybody's like everybody else. Ooh. But when you have diversity, you have to appreciate the diversity of one another and what they bring to the table and be thankful that there's somebody around here that's not just like you, right? You got to appreciate that. You got to appreciate what diversity brings to the table, what young people can do that you can't, what the wisdom that the older folks have that the young people don't have. Listen, folks, I've been in those churches. I've been in churches that have been hip. They're hopping. They're going. Young people everywhere. But there's no solid foundation. They go out and do everything they want on Saturday night and come in on church and expect God to be there. Why? Because there's no generation to lead them or train them. So they become an island unto themselves and they eventually fold and fall. But a church that's diverse, God can bring greatness out of that church. He can bring greatness in that. And Abraham received that promise. Now, if somebody prophesied over you what they prophesied over Abraham, how many know you go out of here leaping and shouting to God over the prophecy that you got? Right? And so, but every promise, there's a prerequisite or an action. The thing is, preachers in churches today and churches themselves, they want to run to the promise, but they don't want to tell the people how to get to the promise or the process to get to the promise. We want to claim the promise. We want the promise to come, but we don't want to take the steps that it takes in order to obtain the promise. The obedience it takes to walk in God and to position ourselves in a place where God can bless us. But God this morning is going to start positioning some of you and getting into areas of your life and break you free so that you can position yourself for the blessing of God. That's what God wants to do in churches. That's what God wants to do in every church. Oh, now most of us, and he told Abraham, that's a difficult thing. Leave your country, leave your family, leave your father's house. That was the most difficult thing because most of us, what we have learned, we learn from our family. The class of people that we hang around, we learn from. We learn from our ethnicity. We grow up learning by what the patterns of behavior in our household, in our neighborhood, the patterns of our ethnicity, of being, you know, if you grew up white, you white. I grew up being white. It impacted the way I think. Come on now. We learn those things. Now some of you are getting scared to say amen because you're afraid of where I'm getting ready to go with this. That's right. I'm getting ready to get right up in your business. And we're going to pull this thing down and break some of this stuff up in some of y'all's lives. It's a hard thing to say. We don't talk about it. We don't talk about it in churches because we don't want to deal with it. But God says, if I'm going to do something powerful in your life, there's some things you got to get out of in order for me to touch you. And the first thing he says, I want you to get out of your country. Now the word in Hebrew is an interesting word. It does mean land, but the root word of that word means ethnicity. In other words, Abraham, you've got to come out of your ethnicity, what you've been told all your life, what you've been trained to all your life, what you've been told all your life, how you lived all your life, the predisposed things that have happened in your life and informed your thinking. He said, you've got to come out of that. Because the world says, Abraham, because of your ethnicity, there's things you do well and there's things you don't do well. There's things you can do, and there's things you can't do. Come on, you all need to help me. You all know that there's a secret out there. People don't say it. They don't talk about it. But when you're from a certain race or you're from certain people, there's certain predispositions that people think. There's certain things the world says you can do. There's certain things the world says you can't do. There's certain things the world says you're going to be and certain things the world says you can't do or can't be. Come on now. I need y'all's help this morning. Because your ethnicity, In other words, through your ethnicity, it determines how you rise and the places that you go to. And because of your ethnicity, people say there's certain places you can't arise or you can't get to. There's limitations that's put on your life. And so if you're not willing to come out of that in your walk with God, then the blessing of God, you just might as well do not apply. Because God is not neither female nor male. His blessings are not Jew nor Gentile. He doesn't bless just the bond and the free. God doesn't have restrictions on you as far as his blessing. He just looks for obedience in your life. So it doesn't matter what color your skin is or what your background is. God just wants to bless you out of obedience. Ha ha ha. God doesn't have classifications. As long as you're living in the parameters of God's promise, God will bring you his best. No matter if you're male, female, old, young, black, white, yellow, red. Everyone. Woo. Come on, let's just be real this morning. Let's just go ahead and dig it up. Pull it up. When we lived in Virginia, I sent Austin to school. He came home one day and he told me, he said, "Dad, all the Asian kids in my class are smart." Because we get pre-deceived ideas about ethnic groups. See, you need to go. See, some of you need to go to a Spanish-speaking meeting where you don't speak Spanish. You need to go to that meeting. You need to get in that meeting and watch how they worship and how alive they are and how festive they are. Experience that and experience the festiveness of Hispanic culture. When I was in elementary school, I went to a school that was 80% black. My best friends were African Americans. And Ronnie Washington's mom, she would take a big pan-fried skillet and cook the best fried chicken I ever ate in my life. And fried potatoes, oh, that girl, that woman could cook. Right? Come on now. I mean, just give a black sister a frying pan and it's on. Right? Come on now. Y'all help me this morning. Because we're going to get down to where it's truthful this morning. I went into a black church one time, me and my wife, we were a guest. We were the only white people there. And we were on the platform. And the music started. And oh my, it was good. It just broke out. And I was thinking, oh my God, if I could just change my pigmentation right now and become a brother, I would do it because I loved the way they worshiped. It was awesome. Huh? That's their culture. That's a spirit. Boy, they could see. And they come down the aisle. They had white gloves on. It was the sisters for those who fell out in the spirit. Them nurses were going to take care of them. Come on now. I've been in. Hey, it's all good. I love the white churches. I love it when these white people try to start dancing like they ain't got no knees. Huh? Come on now. Y'all know it. White people got no rhythm. But when they get happy, they look like the Tin Man. They look like the Tin Man on Wizard of Oz. That's what y'all like. But I love it. It's the ethnicity of who you are. It's your culture. I went into a Korean church when I was in Bible college because they made us go and preach at different ethnic churches. And I went to this Korean church. And we get in there. And I thought, man, this is going to be good. And so I get on the front row. Y'all with me? Can you hang with me for a few more minutes? And the pastor got up, and he started speaking in Korean. And all of a sudden, everyone in the church went, whoa! Ah! Woo! I mean, they were praying, man. That's how they pray. I mean, they were giving everything. It was like you killed their family. It was like you stole something from them. And I'm just this white dude standing there, and all these Koreans wailing and going crazy and praising God. And I'm like, oh, dear Jesus, what in the world? Where am I delivered? Where are my hats? Hey. But God likes to take people that the world tries to put them in a box and then takes them and put them on a stage and put his blessing on them and make them somebody nobody ever thought they would be because the world tried to restrict them. Ah! I loved it when Jeremy Lin, Korean boy, just lit up the NBA. Little short Korean boy. God took and threw him in the NBA. Now the world would say, not many Koreans are going to make it there. But let me tell you something. If God is in the promise and you're walking in obedience, let me tell you, there's nothing that is impossible for you and to them that believe God. Hallelujah. What you got to understand this morning, world says no, God says yes. And though we can appreciate culture and style, and we can respect our ethnicity, but we must understand this, that when you come into the kingdom of God, and when you start living for God, and you start working on his economy, you can't start dragging all your life with you and all your idiosyncrasies and expect to step into the kingdom and the God to honor all these little things that you got all mixed around you and expect that you're going to bring your junk into God's presence and God's going to honor that. No, when God says get out, you get out. When you get out, then I will do for you. We want to drag our stuff into God. We want to drag our stuff into what God has for our lives. That's nice. I'm thankful for it. But I'm telling you, being white is not going to define me. Being white is not going to set my limits. Neither should Hispanic, neither should black, white, yellow. That shouldn't define who you are in God and what you do on the face of this earth. The world may tell you no, but I'm telling you, if God kicks the door open, maybe that door's coming open. I'm about ready to fly out of here. All things are possible with him that believe. Let's not be naive in this place this morning. Believe that there ain't silent belief systems that we have. We just don't talk about them in church. Nobody wants to talk about them because the preacher don't want the mess that comes with it. And the truth is, church needs to be start telling the truth that the reason you the way you are, the reason some of you are is because some of your crazy family has made you that way. Why? Because you're born into iniquity. And your iniquity will visit 2 and 3 generations. We're going to dismiss in prayer. Father, bless your people. Watch over them as they leave. I thank you, God, for them. I love them. They mean more to me than anything. And I just pray, God, that your blessing would be on them. Hallelujah. 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 God, bless their homes, their families. May there be no sickness in their homes. Until we meet again, God, may the blessing of God be on them. In Jesus' name.